Tonight, in Romans chapter number 4, I promise you that I am not trying to belabor the point of walking with the Lord, but I'm going to walk with Him as long as He wants me to in these messages. I have no idea what I'm preaching Sunday morning. I have an idea that God's going to go in a direction in revival next week, and because of two different text messages that I got, one from the pastor and one from Brother Chris on Monday morning, I believe the Lord's nudging my heart in that way. But I was reading my Bible, and this jumped out at me. Let's just start reading in verse 1 of chapter number 4. Verse 1 of chapter number 4 in the book of Romans. It's a familiar passage of Scripture. What shall we say then, that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. I mean, he's glad your sins covered tonight. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. So in these few little verses right here, we find God imputing righteousness and refusing to impute sin. Years ago, I've told this story before, but my grandpa was a trader. He cut firewood for a long time, and he got to where he couldn't cut firewood and sell it. And then he started picking up pop cans. And I want to say this. I thank God for a man to do what he can. Amen. And he'd pick up pop cans and sell them. And he got to where he couldn't pick up pop cans, and so he got him a cigar box. How many's ever seen a cigar box? Them cardboard cigar boxes? Amen. I never did smoke them. I was never man enough. Amen. They always turned me green. But anyway, he got him a cigar box, and he'd have some rings and some watches and some jewelry and necklaces and stuff in there. And he'd go around and just open it up and let people look through it, knives, you see anything you like, and so he'd sell it. And he come to where I work one evening, and he said, look in here, son, see if you see anything you like. And he had a pocket watch that you could look right through the crystal and you could see the guts working. I'd never seen anything like that before in my life. And I said, Grandpa, I like that pocket watch. I said, how much you want for that pocket watch? And he said, oh, son, he said, I'd have to have $35 for that watch. And it was very unusual for me to have $35 in my pocket at that time, amen. But I was trying to help out my grandpa too. And I said, well, Grandpa, I'll just take it. Now, Grandpa had a byword. It was Dodd Burn. That's what he'd say, Dodd Burn. And he said, Dodd Burn, if I'd known you was going to buy it, I'd have said more than $35. And I'm telling that whole story just to say this. The man that's a trader, Brother John's a trader. He likes to trade around. But a man that's a trader, he feels real good when he made a good trade. Amen. I have traded, made a good trade, and I have traded and got burned. How many knows what I just said? Amen. If it looks too good to be true, it probably is. Amen. But I want to tell you the best trade I ever made in my life was when I traded my sin for His That's for a heavenly father. See, Jesus said, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father will you do. He's a liar from the beginning, but my heavenly father's never lied to me. He's always been good to me. Amen. And here in the Bible, that's pointed out. In verse 9, I want to tell you this before I go on. This blesses my heart. Years later, my wife will tell you about once a year, And I had to have quite a bit of persuasion. But about once a year, I'd clean my dresser off, or my chest of drawers. She had the dresser, I had the chest of drawers. And about once a year, I'd clean it off, and I ran into that pocket watch. This was years later. Now my granddad was confined to a recliner, like Brother Don got in his last days. And I took that pocket watch, and I hadn't carried it two or three times in years. I liked it. And I went like that, and I said, "You know what I'm going to do, honey?" She said, "What?" I said, "I'm going to take that watch and give it to Grandpa." Every time I'd seen him since I bought it, he'd ask me, "You still got that watch? You still got that watch?" Miss Eve said, "He'll just sell it." I said, "I don't care what he does with it. I just want to make his day." And I took that watch and gave it back to my Grandpa. I don't know where it is, but I know it made his day. Amen. And what a blessing it is. The Bible said here in verse 9, "Cometh this blessing then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness." Now get a hold of this. "How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision?" Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. See, this was before the law. Are you listening to me? Faith. Amen. And the Bible said here, "And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only," that would be us, the Gentiles, "but who also," here it is, "walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had yet being uncircumcised." Tonight, I believe God wants us to walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. You can think I'm silly tonight. I've gotten past what people think. But when God spoke to my heart out of this text, my mind went back to my childhood. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them. So are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right arm, left arm. How many remembers that? Amen. I'm telling you, I had me a spell. Because I tell you, Father Abraham means something to all of us. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you tonight for the blessings of being in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, tonight for your people. Thank you for your word. I pray, God, tonight you'd stir our hearts together as we look at the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had yet being uncircumcised. God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. I want to look at, I think, about four steps tonight. I'd like for you to go back with me, if you will, to the book of Genesis. Would you go back with me to the book of Genesis? Genesis chapter number 12. Genesis chapter number 12. There's some things that kind of parallel some of the other parts of the messages that we've been preaching and even that Brother Keith preached in the revival. But there's some things that the Bible teaches us about the steps of that faith. In chapter 12 of the book of Genesis, in verse number 1, the Bible said, "Now the Lord said unto Abram." You remember that was his name, amen, before the circumcision, and God gave him that name, Abraham. The Bible said, "Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." And one of the first things you see here is that there was faith to leave. Faith to leave. That is not an easy thing to do. I promise you, it's not an easy thing to do. You're called on to leave your people. You're called on to leave your land. And the Bible said that Abraham, over there in the book of Hebrews, that he went out not knowing whither he went. Can I tell you something that's more important than knowing where you're going? It's knowing who you're going with. Amen. I'm telling you, Abraham knew the Lord. Amen. He had faith in God, and he had that faith to leave. And years ago, I was at Liberty Baptist Church in Churchill, Tennessee, and God was dealing in my heart, and I resigned the church. And God showed me a verse of Scripture that he had shown me before, that Abraham obeyed God not knowing whither he went. I had sought counsel when I left the first church I pastored, and the men were much older. I've always had a great respect for older men of God. That's why I love Brother John. But anyway, I get him to smile every once in a while. Amen. Amen. But anyway, I sought counsel, and all the men said the same thing. Basically, I wouldn't leave without a place to go. You've got a family. You've got a responsibility, your wife and your children. And there's nothing wrong with that. The Bible said there's safety in the multitude of counselors. But one day I was reading chapter number 11, the book of Hebrews, and God said, Abraham obeyed me. I done knew what God had done in my heart. But I was seeking counsel, and he said he didn't know where he was going. That night I told my wife, I pulled her in the bedroom, and I said, honey, she said, I know. I said, you know what? She said, you're going to resign tonight, aren't you? I said, yes, I am, honey. That's what God's leading me to do. Well, when I resigned, I wanted to get to this part right here. I was talking to my boy on the front porch there where we live now. And we had done a lot of remodel on the house. We'd put new windows in it, a new roof on it, new porches on it. I mean, we had, to excuse my French, we'd worked our butts off, amen, trying to get the house. It was built in 1963. It needed a lot of work, amen, when we moved there. And I was telling my boy, and it looked like that God was moving us from Tennessee back to Virginia. Actually, the church that I was saved in needed a pastor, Landmark Baptist Church. And I'm standing there talking to my son, and my son is shaking his head. And I said, what's the matter, son? He said, Dad, I don't understand. He said, you've done all of this work. He said, you fixed this house up, and now you're just going to walk off and leave it? Listen, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I serve a God. I learned a long time ago, if you'll walk with him, say amen. Honey, you're not going down a dark road. You're going down a road that's lit up well. Amen. And where God guides, God provides. I've learned that. Amen. I remember my son saying that to me, and I said this to my son. I'll never forget it as long as I've got a memory at all. I said, son, all I want to do is hear my Lord say, well done. One day after a while, Brother Brian, my teenage son, looked at me and said, don't worry, Dad, you will. I tell you, I'll never forget that as long as he got more confidence than I do. Amen. But I thank God. Listen, Abraham, he's going to take a step. It's a step of faith. Amen. He's willing to leave. And what God showed me later on, he put me in the Rock of Ages, and I didn't have to move. I was able to stay right there. I was traveling all over the country anyway. But what God showed me was, I just wanted to know if you were willing. And God knows I was willing. Willing. Are we willing in the steps of that faith? If God would require us to leave something behind, are we willing to leave? Remember that them old boys, that fishermen? What they left their nets, didn't they? And I'm telling you, beloved, we talked about the cost. And many times there's a cost, amen, involved in walking with God. And many want to walk with God until it costs them something, amen. But the Lord said here, there was faith to leave. He had a personal encounter with God. The Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Now you think about that for just a moment. That land could have been where Brother Keith is. It could have been Africa. It could have been Egypt. But God had something in mind, and he wanted Abraham to trust. Our children and our grandchildren need to see us trusting God every step of the way. Amen. The Bible said here, and I'll make of thee a great nation. I'll bless thee. I'll make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I never caught this before, but I pray often, God, would you bless me? You say, Pastor, that's so selfish. How in the world am I going to be a blessing if God don't bless me? That's what's going on in this verse. He said, I'm going to be a blessing. That's what he said right there. I'll bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Here we are all these thousands of years later talking about Father Abraham. Had many sons. I'm one of them. So are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Amen. Thank God tonight. There's a personal encounter. And then there was a promise to believe here. He said, I will bless them that bless thee. I'll curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the Jewish families. Is that what he said? Shall all the families of the earth be blessed. See, God was already in the book of Genesis. He was already tearing down the middle wall of partition, say amen, and making of twain one body. Thank the Lord for that tonight. There was not only faith to leave, but I want to show you this tonight, and it's just as important in the steps of that faith. There was faith to cleave. What do you mean by that, preacher? How many's ever heard somebody say we need to get a hold of the horns of the altar? How many's ever heard that? Well, watch what the Bible said here. In verse 4, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. He's a walking here. He departed. He's leaving home, leaving his kinfolk. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai's wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. They went forth to go into the land of Canaan. Into the land of Canaan they came, and Abram passed through the land unto the places of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanites was then in the land. Look at verse 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, seems to me like, listen to this now, don't overlook this. God is directing his steps. He told him to leave. And the Bible said, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. Watch this cleaving part here. What Abram do? He said, God, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to build me an altar right here. There ain't nobody going to cleave unto the Lord and cleave unto the things of God and continue to walk with God without an altar. It's the altar, A-L-T-A-R, that A-L-T-E-R-D, altar or E-R-S, alters our life. The altar. And there he builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. You say, well, preacher, you know, listen, this is a personal encounter that he has right here. And I mean, he heard the voice of the Lord. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you can read it, I don't know exactly where the text is. It's in the epistles. But we actually have a more sure word of prophecy right here in front of us. When we open this book, you know what God does? He speaks to us. The Bible said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's the word of God that leads us along the way. Amen. It's the word of God that shows us how we ought to walk. And here in the word of God, we see Abraham, he had faith to leave, but he had faith to cleave unto the Lord. The Bible said over there in the book of Acts, chapter 11, verse 23, it talks about when he found them there, they were walking in the grace of God, and with purpose of heart, they cleaved unto the Lord. Nobody cleaves to God accidentally. It happens on purpose. We got to get in that Bible. We got to get on our knees. We got to pray. We need to humble our heart before God. When God shows us something that's wrong in our life, we need to confess it. Get it under the blood. Get that channel opened up. Amen. How many's ever prayed and it felt like it wasn't going out of the room? Help me. How many's ever prayed and you felt like you're sitting in the throne room? There's a difference, ain't there? Amen. And you, let me just say that, say it like this. The problem's never on His end. Not one time is the problem on His end. The problem is on our end. So there's faith to leave, there's faith to cleave. And then this is kind of something that is being portrayed here in Romans chapter number 4. But there's faith to believe. Abraham believed God, and it was counted or imputed unto him for righteousness. You say, Pastor, do you really believe that Abraham believed God? I don't just believe it. I know it. It's that strong. The Bible don't say something that's not true. Amen. Abraham believed God. Turn with me, if you will, beloved, to Genesis chapter number 22. Genesis chapter number 22. Abraham ends up in the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter number 11. And this is one of the things that's mentioned in that chapter. The Bible said in verse 1 of chapter 22, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Now, there are people that are not spiritually inclined. The Bible's a spiritual book, and they'll say there's a discrepancy there because the Bible said God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man, and that's true. This tempting here is not a temptation to do evil. It's a test of Abraham's faith. I've said this for years, and I want to say it one more time. I'd rather my faith be tested now while something can be done about it as to go skating through this life and it never be tested and find out when you get on the other side you got something that ain't real. Say amen. I believe the test, beloved. Listen, I heard this years ago. I think I can get it. The devil tempts us to sin in order to destroy us. Our Lord tempts us, tries our faith in order to develop us. God is never trying to destroy His children. He's always trying to develop His children. And if you'll think back about the valleys in your life, those hard times in your life, thank God you come out better on the other side. Say amen than you did going in. You come out a little stronger. Why? Because His strength is made perfect, not in our strength, but in our weakness. That's where His strength is made perfect. So God did tempt Abraham, and He said, Behold, here am I. He said unto him, Abraham, and He said, Behold, here am I. Verse 2, and He said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and he saddled his ass, and he's still walking, ain't he? Say amen. See, he ain't just walking when it's easy. He's walking when it's tough, too. He's walking with the Lord. And the Bible said Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and he took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he clave the wood for the burnt offering, and he rose up, and he went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham, I like that third day, don't you? Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, he said, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. And you want to talk about faith? Yeah, God's requiring Isaac. He's requiring him to be a burnt offering. But I and the lad are going to go yonder and worship and come again unto you. You talk about faith. He said, Now, Pastor, there ain't no way that Abraham was willing to give his son. Beloved, you don't understand the scripture if you don't believe that. In typology, God is showing us exactly what's going to happen in order that our sin might be dealt with, that our sin might be forgiven. He's going to give His Son, amen, the Lord Jesus. But there's not going to be a ram in the thicket, amen, to take His place. And Isaac, beloved, listen, the Bible said in the book of Hebrews chapter number 11, that here in the story, you find where Abraham raised the knife. He was ready to stick it in his son. And God stayed His hand. And He said, now I know you're willing. And you know what? He was going to do it. You say, Pastor, you can't say that. Yes, you can. Look at Hebrews chapter number 11. He judged him faithful and that he was able to raise him from the dead. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, Abraham was going to drop the knife, stand back and say, God, you said that's the seed. You said that's the one that's going to bring a great nation. Amen. Now what are you going to do, Lord? God will keep His word. Say amen. He'll always keep His word. And Abraham had a great confidence in the Lord. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Look, let's go back to chapter number 8 for just a moment. Romans chapter number 8. Walk in the steps of that faith. I'm telling you what's the truth, beloved. I love my boy. He's getting ready to start a big project on his house. I told Miss Eve, I said, honey, I'm going to be so busy, but I want to help him all I can. You love your children, don't you? Amen. I know the day may come when I may be a burden to my children. I hope not. But while I can, I want to be a blessing to my children. Amen. The Bible said over here in Romans, I think I said chapter 8, I meant, let's see here. I thought I was going to chapter 4. Wait just a minute. No, chapter 8, verse 18. Chapter 8, verse 18. Let's go here for just a minute. The Bible said here, I'm wrong about that. Chapter 4, verse 18. The Bible said, I want you to look at this, believing. Abraham believed God, faith to believe. Who against hope, believed in hope. We've got a young man in our church. And I don't know what in the world's happened to him. No doctor knows what in the world's happened to him. He don't know what's happened to him. I said in this verse the other day, who against hope, believed in hope. That's what Abraham did. Amen. And the Bible said here that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. It wasn't just what was spoken, but it was who spoke it. It was the God of glory. Amen. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. I want you to see what strong faith does, giving glory to God. That's what strong faith does. It gives glory to God. I like the kind of faith the three Hebrew children had. When Nebuchadnezzar said, now you're going to bow to this image of gold. They said, no, we're not. It said, our God's able to deliver us, O king. But if not, we're still not going to bow to your image of gold. Amen. And that's what this strong in faith is looking at, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. You remember Sunday night at the end of the service, if you weren't here Sunday night, We ask you to come and take a piece of literature. Now, I've given out literature since Sunday, but not that one piece. He said, Pastor, why wouldn't you give that first? Because when I prayed over it, I said, God, I want you to show me who gets this piece of literature. Amen. And God will show me between now and next Sunday night. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. But let me tell you something about that literature right there. If it's got the Word of God in it, You know what God said about His Word? It will not return void. The question is, do we believe that? Do we believe that? I was sitting up there last year. I hadn't listened to that video in some time where we made the video, the gospel presentation. And I was sitting up there and I made a mark every time a verse of Scripture was used. And in a 15-minute gospel presentation, 39 verses of Scripture are used in that presentation. You say, you're proud of that? I sure am, because the Word of God won't return void. Amen. I didn't intend it to be that way, and I wasn't counting them when I was doing it. Amen. But how in the world are you going to tell somebody about Jesus without using the Word of God? He staggered not at the promises of God. He was fully persuaded that what He had promised, He was able also to perform. In verse 22, and therefore it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Now watch this now. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. I love this. But for us also. You've got some people, listen, it'd be better just to hush up than to open your mouth. Somebody said it'd be better just to, you know, keep your mouth shut and let everybody think you're a fool as to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Amen. But you've got people that say, well, the church ain't got no business in that Old Testament. You've got people that say the church ain't got no business in the book of Revelation. They can say whatever they want to, but my Bible said every word of God was given by inspiration of God. Every word is profitable. Say amen. I'm telling you, God don't want us to skip any of it. He wants us to know that way back yonder in the book of Genesis, He had you and I on His mind. He had them Gentile dogs on His mind. I appreciate the Lord. It was written for not for His sake alone that it was imputed to Him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed. Listen to this. If we believe on Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. I'm glad, thank God, tonight my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not claim the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I'll give you this tonight and I'm done. I was preaching years ago in Antioch Baptist Church in Bristol, Virginia. And they call preachers from the floor. It's always an honor to get called on to preach, but it's also made you nervous because you got a bunch of inspectors there, a bunch of other preachers sitting there, amen, inspecting. And I was a young preacher, didn't have a lot of experience, but God had dealt with my heart about the three little pigs. You say, God dealt with your heart? Yeah, the Scripture's over there in the book of Psalms. It says, I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. And Sister Carol, I asked this one and that one and this one and that one to tell me the story of the three little pigs. And nobody told me the same story. So I just made up my own. Amen. I had the big bad wolf of the devil and the big bad wolf of the world and the big bad wolf of the flesh. There's that little pig in that house of straw. I'm going to huff and I'm going to puff and I'm going to blow your house down. And I tell you, I had that little pig, Brother Mike, he run out the back door and went over to his brothers and they blowed the house down. That second house was made out of wood. And there are two little brothers in there, and the big bad wolf of the flesh, the devil, and the world said, I'm going to huff and I'm going to puff and I'm going to blow your house down. Well, they run out the back door over to their other brother's house. He blowed the house down. I had that big bad wolf of the world, the big bad wolf of the flesh, the big bad wolf of the devil. This last house was rock. I'm going to huff and I'm going to puff and I'm going to blow your house down. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. I had them three little pigs standing right inside the door singing, "On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." Amen. Brother Craig Edwards got up behind me. He was moderating that meeting. He told the folks, he said, "Unto God." He said, "I've shouted at weddings. I've shouted in business meetings." He said, "I've shouted at funerals." He said, "But I've never shouted over the three little pigs till this morning." Amen. Thank God. We're standing on a rock. His promises are just as true and just as real and just as dependable as they were for Abraham. Amen. Now go home. Father Abraham had many sons. If you're not one of them, you need to be. I'm not going to preach this last point, but that was that faith that caused him to receive. See, the Bible said he came into his own, John chapter 1. His own received him not. But here I am, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Ain't that good? Amen. The religious world has complicated the gospel. But I'm going to tell you, it's a simple gospel. The Savior of the world, his name is Jesus. They'll call his name Jesus. Why? Because he's going to save his people from their sin. Amen. Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. We're having Christmas in September. Amen. Ain't that good? Let's stand together. We'll be dismissed tonight. Thank you for being here. Amen.